Come to order, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Gerard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excused, Scott, Patty Smith, excused for business of the House, Krieger,
salute will be led by Representative John Lim.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony today will be presented by the Reverend Dr. Richard Osborne of Hillsdale Community Church, United Church of Christ of Portland. He is a guest of Representative David Edwards.
O God, creator of all that is and lover of all that you have made, we are aware of our interconnectedness with all living things. Today we stand in unity with and support of all those who have suffered loss and pain in our war-torn and tragedy-prone world. Where peace and right relationships exist, we rejoice and are glad. When tragedy and tribulation takes lives and plays havoc in our world, we weep and share the sadness over the losses. So bring to your people everywhere joy over the success we make toward oneness and wholeness, and also bring healing in the face of the hurts and failures. Today we have tasks before us that call for our diligence and discernment, energy and ingenuity, insight and integrity. Enable us to do those things we have to do. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, so that at the end of the day, we may know your peace, your security at a job well done. Right now, we ask your blessing on this house, both Democrat and Republican, liberal and conservative. Heal old wounds, grant clear visions, create new bonds so that what may emerge is a better, safer, and more livable Oregon. Amen.
Courtesies. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise today to extend courtesies to a student joining us at the Capitol, Tanner Carson. Tanner is an eighth grader at Kelly Middle School and is taking the day to participate in the Honorary Page program. At school, Tanner enjoys dance, reading and writing, and someday wants to be a nurse. I want to take this opportunity to welcome her and to her observing the public process.
Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to give courtesies to a student from West Salem High School. Who's being an intern for me today, Liam Riddell. Many of you may know his father, Gil Riddell, who works here. So the courtesies of the House to Liam. Thank you.
Representative Chris Edwards.
Colleagues, I'd like to introduce a constituent of mine, Amy Niemeyer. Amy, if you could stand. Amy is from Eugene, the daughter of Kathy Niemeyer. She's 13 in the eighth grade at Kelly Middle School, enjoys dance and writing, and aspires to be a teacher or an author when she grows up. So thank you for being here.
Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd appreciate it, colleagues, if you direct your attention to the side aisle. I would like to extend courtesies to the Reverend Dr. Richard Osborne, who gave this morning's invocation. He is the interim pastor at Hillsdale United Church of Christ. He has a distinguished history of giving invocations, having given at least three invocations here in the House and at least one in the Senate, and actually gave the invocation on the day of Governor Vicatia's inauguration. I'd also like to introduce one of my young constituents, Tara Osborne, the Reverend Dr. Richard Osborne's granddaughter. She's 11 years old. She's a fifth grader at Forest Hills Lutheran School and enjoys reading and writing, basketball, and, of course, horses.
Representative Holdy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please join me in welcoming to our chamber today the Vice President for Human Resources and Organizational Development for Peace Health in Eugene, Craig Mills. There he is up there in the south balcony there. Craig is here because Peace Health is in the midst of a major growth and development to meet the needs of the area, increasing demands for a broad range of healthcare services. He needs to ensure that Peace Health's partner, Lane Community College, has the resources to train the nurses and allied health professionals required. During their long partnership with the college, Peace Health has provided clinical experiences for nursing students and actually funded three or four cohorts of nurses that the college couldn't provide for on its own resources. Given the projected number of nurses who are retiring in the next 3 to 5 years, Lane and Peace Health would like to train 100 graduates per year to more closely meet the projected demand. Additional state resources for physical space, equipment, and human resources are needed to make this possible. Please offer courtesies of this chamber to Craig Mills and his partners from Lane Community College and listen to their concerns as they visit our offices today. Thank you.
Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please welcome and extend courtesies to some guests over on the side aisle with the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Oregon and Southwest affiliates. Waving over there. We have with us today Jim Mountain, Tony Mountain, Gail Brown Miller, and Jen Wagner. And unfortunately, colleagues, Washington and Oregon have some of the highest, we have the highest rates of breast cancer in the United States. The Susan G. Komen for the Cure Oregon and Southwest Washington affiliate was founded in 91 and continues to be the only nonprofit serving Oregon and Southwest Washington that focuses solely on breast cancer. Please join me in applauding the work of Komen for the Cure. They are literally fighting to save the lives of thousands of individuals. Thank you very much.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to call your attention to the balcony where there are a number of representatives of Lane Community College. Lane Community College is located in my district and a very important educational institution, workforce development institution. And I note that there is a member up there with a chef's hat on, I assume from the Culinary Arts Department. If you have ever eaten their food, you know what a great treat it is, and I commend it to you. The number of representatives Lane Community College are in the building today, and I hope you'll have a chance to visit with them.
Are there further courtesies?
Yes.
Messages from the governor.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the governor to confirm these approved and signed the following bills. House bills 5,007, 50, 17, 50, 39, 20, 47, 20, 91, 21, 42, 21, 48, 21, 57, 21, 59, 21, 61, 21, 63, 21, 65, 22, 07, 22, 27, 22, 48, 22, 49, 22, 71, 22, 79, 22, 81, 22, 82, 22, 86, 22, 92, 23, 12, 23, 13, 23, 43, 23, 55, 23, 56, 23, 58, 23, 60, 23, 64, 23, 65, 23, 67, and 23, 68.
Messages from the Senate.
Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that the Senate has passed Senate Bills 748, 5511, 5512, 5527, 5534, 5541, 5545, 39, 77, 303, 379, 554, 590, and 892.
First readings, memorials, and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special committee reports. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that House Bill 2082 be taken from this morning's calendar and be placed as the first bill on this afternoon's calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Special orders of business. Oh, okay. H.J.R. 51. Chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of H.J.R. 51 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Monday, April 23rd, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2074 relating to landscaping. House Bill 2219 relating to administration of building trade licensing programs. House Bill 2390 relating to registration place for Congressional Medal of Honor recipients. House Bill 2902 relating to penalties for violations of maximum weight requirements.
Bills read second time or passed to third reading. Consent calendar. Clerk will read the bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2869 relating to sheriffs and declaring an emergency extends time period for sheriffs' sale pursuant to garnishment from 15 days to 20 days.
The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2869A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Hunt, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Gilliam? Votes aye. Representative Nolan? She's excused for business of the House. All members have voted. House Bill 2869A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Third reading of House bills.
Third reading of House bills. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5051 relating to financial administration of the Water Resource Commission declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5051. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 5051 ratifies fee modifications implemented through rulemaking during the 05-07 interim. The new fee is for changes made to groundwater certificates issued prior to adoption of the state groundwater code in 1955. The revenue from these fees is assumed in the budget for the Water Resources Department. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5051.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Clem, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Riley, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Chris Edwards, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Votes no. All members have voted. House Bill 5051, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2101, relating to fees of Water Resources Department and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2101. Representative Dingfelder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 2101 is the fee bill for the Water Resources Department. This bill increases a number of fees collected by the Water Resources Department, including application fees for water permits, transfers, and storage. The bill also creates new fees for adding additional points of diversion to an existing water right. The department developed the fee modifications contained in the bill through work groups and stakeholder meetings throughout the interim. Fees were last adjusted in the 2003 session. At that time, the legislature directed the Water Resources Department to make more regular adjustments to its fee base to avoid large increases in the future. The revenue from these fees is assumed in the budget for the Water Resources Department. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2101.
Further discussion, Representative Kremel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I wonder if the carrier would yield to a couple of questions.
Question?
Yes.
Yes. Will the carrier yield to a question?
I will.
She will.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. In line 6 on page 1 of the bill, it says that the Water Resources Department may collect the following fees in advance, and then it goes down to line 10 where it's moving it from $300 to $500 for an appropriation of water through a single-use point of diversion or point of appropriation. How much will the department actually be collecting of the fee that they're allowed to collect? Was there testimony to that effect?
Yes, Madam Speaker. In your LFO sheet that you should have in your file for the 07-09 biennium, it's $479,330,000, and that's for all 25 fee adjustments in the bill.
Clarification, Madam Speaker.
Additional question, clarification? Will the carrier yield?
Yes.
She does.
Madam Speaker, I'm having a hard time hearing because there's a lot of conversation on the floor.
Members, could you please keep your conversations down or take them outside? Go ahead with your clarification.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I understand the total amount of money is almost $500,000. I'm wondering that $500, for example, they may collect up to $500. How much are they going to set the fee at on a per application basis?
We're looking for that information right now.
Thank you.
Stand at ease for a moment.
By the way, Okay, I apologize, but since there's 25 fee adjustments, I had to find the correct citation. And the department estimates that that will generate $4,800.
I guess I'm not making my question clear. So I'd like to clarify, Madam Speaker. It says that a base fee of $500 for an appropriation of water through a single-use point of diversion or point of appropriation. That's telling me that from the read-in line that the department may collect $500 for each one of those things when there's an application. Are they going to go immediately to the $500, or are they going to ramp it up because they were previously able to charge a fee of $300? So are they going immediately to $500, or I want to know on a per application basis. I don't care how much it is per year, per biennium, or anything else. I want to know what it is on
per
application.
Thank you for that clarification. The answer is yes, $500.
Thank you. Further question, Madam Speaker?
Additional question. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. On excuse me, on page 2 at line 42, it says that the fee of $20 for each acre foot or fraction thereof, but the language of the cap has been removed. Is there a particular reason why the cap is being removed on that particular application?
I'm trying to think. Representative, that was not discussed in the Ways and Means Subcommittee.
Madam Speaker, I wonder then if the chair of the House Committee on Energy and Environment would yield to a question.
I believe the carrier is the chair of the House Committee on Energy and
yes,
the Environment.
Yes, and we did have a discussion in the Policy Committee, and I'm trying to recall, I think, that the Water Resources Department had concerns about large diversions, being able to use the lower... Yeah, the lower fee, and so actually we had a discussion that it would be limited to small ponds of 9.2 acre feet.
Further question, Madam Speaker?
Further question, does the carrier yield?
Yes,
she does.
Thank you, Representative, and thank you for that clarification, but I'm just wanting to make sure that I understand it. So anything that is any kind of a pond or diversion that is over 9.2 acre feet is going to, there's no cap, so the fee will be $20 for each acre foot. So if it was over 9.2 acre feet, it would exceed $250, and the department was concerned about that. Is that correct?
Madam Speaker, that is correct. The discussion, if I'm recalling right, in the Policy Committee is the concern about not covering the costs of the Water Resources Department to fully implement and process these very complicated applications. So the intent was for cost recovery for the department for these applications that often entail many, many hours of work.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing no one in the queue, Representative Dingfelder, do you wish to close?
Not at this time.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Chris Edwards, how do you vote? Votes no.
Representative Kampf, how do you vote?
Votes no.
House Bill 2101, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2263, related to education, declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2263A. Representative Dallum.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. House Bill 2263 comes to you from the Committee on Education and the Subcommittee on Innovation and Education, and was also brought up in the Interim Committee on Education. The bill has been well vetted. The Oregon Education Act for the 21st century was a good idea. It was good public policy. I want to tell you that SIM and CAM did not go wrong. They were accepted and practiced by many schools in our state and minimized by others. This bill does not eliminate SIM and CAM. A school still may implement SIM and CAM certificate practices. A school that doesn't want to won't. Under this bill, SIM and CAM are optional. I think it's imperative that we understand what is gone. Two certificates are gone. Still there, academic standards. Still there, assessment. Still there, through the State Board of Ed, new educational standards. So let's be clear that what we're doing away with is the SIM certificate and the CAM certificate. Now, the SIM was never required for graduation across the state and was therefore optional and was never inculcated in graduation requirements across the state. The CAM has had its start date started, stopped, and delayed. Money to implement the CAM was never appropriated. So the two certificates now will become optional. This bill has 26 pages to eliminate two. It's a good bill, and I beg your endorsement. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I rise to ask for your support for this bill. I concur with Representative Dallum. It needs to happen, but I wanted to make a statement to the hundreds and actually thousands of teachers throughout the state who put their time, effort behind the ideas of SIM and CAM and worked hard to make a better education for students throughout this state. Many of them worked tirelessly, and as he explained, we didn't have the funding to really allow them to do the job, and they did it on their own because they believed in making the best education that we could possibly have for the 21st century. I commend their efforts and many of the programs, which will continue. This bill doesn't make those go away, but will continue, as was already explained, and urge your support of this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise today in support of House Bill 2263. As a representative, but more importantly, as a parent who has been a public school parent for the past 13 years, during the time in which, as the representative from House District 59 just explained, the concepts of SIM and CAM have been started, stopped, and delayed many times. And I tell you, the frustration that's been felt by students during those years has been pretty overwhelming. And I also agree with Representative Roblin's comments about acknowledging the teachers and administrators and people who have tried so hard to adhere to the high standards that were the goal of SIM and CAM. And I certainly, as a parent, believe in high standards and accountability. In fact, I often believe that the standards are not high enough and need to be higher. But colleagues, SIM and CAM have become synonymous with more testing. And what's happened with the trend toward more testing is that creativity, innovation, and critical thinking have been inhibited. And we've come to a point in our public education where oftentimes what becomes important is what can be tested on a multiple choice test. And I understand that the unfunded, in my opinion, misguided No Child Left Behind requirements still require some assessment and testing. And assessment is a very good thing. But, colleagues, this is a step in the right direction. I want to also share some observations from one of my favorite critics of standardized testing, a former teacher and educational expert, Alfie Cohn. Talking about the problem with standardized testing, he says, "What happens is what we end up measuring, what we end up measuring, then becomes what's important to know. This is the opposite of what would seem to be the sensible way to formulate an education policy, namely to begin by agreeing on some broad outlines for what students ought to know and be able to do, and then address the question of assessment. These days, it's just the opposite. The tail of testing is wagging the educational dog." Colleagues, I urge your support of House Bill 2263, and let's focus on ways that we can raise the standards for all students in Oregon. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I just want to urge your aye vote on House Bill 2263. It is about time. As a parent, as a school board member, and as a professional educator with a doctorate in education, I just want to say that this was never accepted by the business community from the community that I come from, and it is just about time, and urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Nelson.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I guess it was 4 years ago, I was one of those individuals who was grading these tests that we use to measure our students. This was a broad-based writing assignment across the state representing all schools, and I believe our group rated some 436 documents. I have to tell you, the saddest thing is that out of all of those 436 documents, we found those 10th graders could not spell, punctuate, carry a theme through on just one page. It was just unbelievable. My question to the Department of Education that day was, where do these kids go now for remedial help? You know, in business, they always say you have to have management with measurement. Well, let this be a lesson to us when we decide to put one more mandate on schools. This is measurement without management. All this testing, but no requirement for remedial work afterward. It was my philosophy that every one of those 10th graders who are soon to be out in the business world on to college should have had at least 6 weeks of remedial work so they could learn to spell and punctuate and write a complete sentence. Not the case. Also, I would just like to say that in the earlier grades, we have a testing program with computers that children don't understand. Means nothing to them. So I think, you know, the best lesson out of this bill is let's learn that if we're going to require measurement, let's require management. And I'd also like to declare a conflict of interest, as I am a teacher.
State your... Representative Nelson declares a conflict of interest. Did you state your conflict, Representative?
Yes, good speaker, I'm a teacher.
Representative Nelson declares a conflict of interest that will be noted in the record. Further discussion, Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have a question to the carrier.
Question of the carrier, will the carrier yield?
Yes, Madam Speaker.
He will.
Thank you. Representative, on Section 17 regarding child development specialists, why were those changes made?
Yes, Representative Tomei. This is added at the request of the Department of Education for clarification if a district continues with SIM and CAM.
Follow-up or clarification?
Additional question? Will the carrier yield?
Yes.
He will.
Good Representative, it doesn't seem to me that the child development program has anything to do with the SIM and CAM.
Excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, Representative. I think I misspoke.
Members, stand at ease for a moment.
I want to, we did discuss this at length, and it's part of the cleanup that the Department of Education wanted to include in the bill. And as we went through this in committee, this seemed an appropriate time and an appropriate place.
Clarification?
Clarification? Will the carrier yield?
Yes.
Thank you, Representative. So tell me what the original law said and how it has been changed. That's unclear to me.
Yes, Representative, if you'll move to Section 17, 329.255 starts with the first part of Section 1 and then comes through 2, 2A, and down the page all the way to Section 3.
Clarification?
Further clarification? Does the carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
So, was the original bill lines 5 through 27 without the bolded area?
The original bill was 5 to 40, and the bolded is added, and 19 to 39 is omitted.
Clarification?
Additional clarification? Does the carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
Representative, it's still unclear to me why that was omitted. It seemed like it described what a child development specialist does, so I'm confused about why that was omitted.
Representative, we had, as I recall from committee, we had no extended discussion on this issue. The Department of Ed wanted to clean up this piece, and at the time, the committee members, there were no questions raised that I'm aware of. They needed it for clarification. We accepted it on its face and accepted the change in the law.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Madam Chair. The Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to rise in support of this. I sponsored something similar to suspend the SIM and the CAM last session. It didn't go anywhere. However, the overwhelming support I had from my district came from the teachers and also the school district. So the teachers were having a hard time implementing this. And I can understand that because I put 3 children through high school under this program, and I'm still looking at the books wondering what they're for. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Kremel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, woohoo! The elimination of the SIM and CAM has been a long time in coming. And I'm thrilled that the superintendent has seen the need to dispense with this costly and time-consuming program. Just to give you a little bit of recent history, the early part of this decade I was working as a substitute teacher. And it's interesting when you go into different districts outside your own city and you're able to be that proverbial fly on the wall. What I heard from other teachers with regards to SIM and CAM was that this entire thing was a major waste of time and effort. And while many teachers have worked on this over the years, and I appreciate the fact that there were many that put in a lot of time and effort on this thing, there were many, 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 probably more, that absolutely despised this program. I had one teacher at a high school that shall remain nameless in a department that shall also remain nameless that said, you know, when we have to do the speech part for Sim and Cam, if a student will just get up in front of a class and talk for 4 minutes, I give them the full grade. What does that tell you about where this program had gone? In 2005, the House Audits Committee that I chaired took a very close look at the program and determined that indeed it needed to be let go. And what we found, what has been found this year, is that the actual compliance in 2005-2006 dropped from 37% to 31%. But using the Department of Education data, the Audits Committee took a look at the SIM to determine if it was really worth it. And we were wondering if we could do better with the dollars that we were putting into this. And during our hearings, the Audit Committee heard testimony about the irrelevancy of the SIM and the CAM and the fact that not one of our state-sponsored universities asked for a SIM on their application. And also the fact that not one, that I was able to ascertain anyway, employers asked on their application forms if students had earned a SIM or a CAM. And obviously CAM would be pretty hard because it was never really implemented. I talked recently with a former member, and actually he was my representative when this bill was voted on in the 91 session. And he told me it seemed reasonable and it had a lot of promise at the time. So it's one of those good ideas at the time, but really didn't pan out. And so eliminating it and moving to an assessment system that's standards-based, nationally normed, objectively scored, and aligns with the federal statute of No Child Left Behind really seems like the way to go. We found that it has not given us the results that we had hoped for. It is time to move forward. I am mildly concerned about a couple of things. One is that page 5, what does the department do with the information in section 6? I'm also mildly concerned in another section here. Probably doesn't matter. I am concerned that the comment being made that it's not really going away because we really do need for this to go away. So even with my mild concerns, I urge and I vote on this bill. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes, Madam Speaker.
He does.
Good representative from House District 59. Thank you. I'm a sponsor of this, voted for it in committee, and I'll vote for it on the floor today. But, Representative, during the committee hearings on this bill, I questioned several times if we have a record of how much was spent by school districts and by the Department of Education on this program. I wonder if the good representative has been able to find that out since the committee.
No. We did not get that information. I do believe, though, that this elimination of the SIM and CAM has been understudied by this body all of the time that I've been here. That would be the last session, this session. And brute memory from 2 years ago, the Education Committee then got some notion of the numbers, and it has not been a small amount. The committee went on the road and heard testimony from other schools. But no, we did not get any estimate. I'm not sure that one would be available. Because of the way that SIM and CAM was inculcated, to it was an undivided effort and part of a school district's effort to reach the Oregon Education Act for the 21st century. So I think digging those figures out, you could get some direct costs, but the indirect cost and the amount of time and effort that's been spent, and I will refer back to Representative Roblin's comments. There were school districts that avidly pursued SIM. And I remember my in school districts that I was involved with, we had questions about the CAM strand. And that's a long time ago. And how would we develop each of the CAM strands? As was alluded to by Representative Bonamici, the CAM target kept moving. So in answer to your question, no, we did not get those figures. And in my opinion, I don't think we could ever get a full accounting of how much money was spent.
Thank the good representative from District 59. To the bill, Madam Speaker.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I applaud the superintendent's leadership in submitting this bill to end this state requirement and state mandate. I would never advise this body not to take chances. But I would urge us to continue to require accountability when we're spending taxpayers' money and know when to cut bait.
Further discussion, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
My friends, SIM and CAM were always about standards. We need standards. They are a critical part of our education component. And the Education Committee, I know, could tell you that they heard plenty from the State Board of Education about their work over the last 2 years to develop standards. You would not see this bill before you if there wasn't another alternative out there. Standards have to be measurable. They have to be explainable. They have to be achievable. They have to mean something. And that's what the SIM and CAM were designed to do. They didn't get there. And I would tell you, as we move to these other standards that have been well worked and well developed, that we are cautioned not to make the same mistake that we made with SIM and CAM. And that mistake was not saying we're going to actually implement to the down to it. Because what happens with a standard is there's going to be people who do not meet it. And every one of us is going to hear from those people about 1,000 excuses why they didn't meet it. And if we dumb down the standard, we get nowhere. We can't keep moving the bar. The bar has to mean something. So I would encourage you to inform yourself of the new standards that are in being developed and actually have been worked by the State Board of Ed, and to remember that if we aren't going to have SIM and CAM, we have to have these kinds of standards on the books, and they have to mean something. Otherwise, we get nowhere. That being said, Madam Speaker, I need to declare a potential conflict of interest in that my husband is the chair of the State Board of Education.
Representative Berger declares a potential conflict of interest. It will be noted for the record. Further discussion, Representative Lim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the bill.
To the bill.
And I rise in support of the House Bill 2263A. I serve as a member of full education committee and also the subcommittee on higher ed. As you may know, 1991, before my time, that the Madam Vera Katz, then the Speaker of the House, she was the author of this SIM and CAM education innovation program. And since then on, that each House session, they were not able to give full funding of this program to implement. That's one of the failure. When we pass certain bills, that we need to have a full funding. Sometimes without funding is doomed to fail. That's what happened of this SIM and CAM program. One of the things we failed, that the high school graduate, only one third of them were able to participate of the SIM and CAM program completely finish this program. And also already mentioned, no colleges or any other universities in state or out of state, they were not accepting of this portfolio. And so with that, I think it's the time to move on for the new program. And so with that, I'm willing to support this House Bill 2263A, and I want to give my great respect to the former Speaker, Vera Katz, and also the former Mayor of the Portland.
Further discussion? Representative Dellum, do you wish to close?
Yes, I do, Madam Speaker. Carrying this bill, I'm not sure whether it was a privilege or not. There was a time when SIM and CAM were very, very important to me. In fact, one of my colleagues on the floor here reminded me, it's the reason, one of the reasons that I'm in Oregon. There's been lots of study, many concerns. You can hear that in the compliment or in the conversation from my colleagues. The fact of the matter is, it's time to change. This bill drops a mandate, but let's be crystal clear on what it drops. It drops a certificate that was not mandated by most schools, the SIM, and it drops a certificate that was never incorporated by most schools. The fact of the matter is, most of the things that we're attempting to achieve with the Oregon Education Act, those that are good have stayed with us, and those that prove not to be as sound an educational opportunity as their promise predicted are slowly going away. There have been several committees work this bill. In answer to my colleague, Representative Wisnett, asking how much it cost, we did hear figures, tens of millions of dollars. But I don't think those figures were hard, and I don't think those figures can adequately represent the emotion that went into trying to inculcate what was at that time perceived as an educational improvement for the students of Oregon. I would say again, it's time for a change. I would ask for your support on this bill. Thank you very much.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Nolan? Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2263A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2513, related to gift cards.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2513A. Representative Chomey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2513 prohibits businesses from issuing gift cards that expire or lose value over time. This bill comes to you from your Consumer Protection Committee with a unanimous vote. House Bill 2513 will assure that if a person buys a $50 gift card from a retailer, that gift card will purchase $50 worth of product. It prohibits expiration dates or inactivity and service fees and guarantees that the recipient of the card receives full value. This bill does contain exceptions for donated cards. Many retailers donate gift cards for charity and fundraisers, or use gift certificates for promotional purposes. Those donated or promotional cards may have an expiration date, provided that they are valid for at least 30 days, and it must state clearly on the card that they expire. We have all heard from frustrated constituents about unexpected expiration dates or fees imposed on the gift cards they purchase. But the aggregate figures are staggering, colleagues. Americans spend over $70 billion a year on gift cards. Because of service fees and expiration dates, consumers lose at least 10% of these cards, and that's a loss of more than $7 billion a year. Gift card service fees are unreasonably high. The fees generally range from $1 to $2.50 per month. An estimated 23% of retailers issuing gift cards impose such fees, and two-thirds fail to disclose the service fees when the cards are purchased. In addition, retailers receive substantial economic benefits from the sale of gift cards. They don't need extra fees. Retailers get the money up front, and they have use of the funds interest-free. Gift cards guarantee that consumers will come into their stores, and once in the store, half of the gift card holders spend more than the amount on the gift card. Colleague, when a person buys a gift card, they need to be assured that the recipient will receive full value. This is a good bill. Over 20 states have already enacted legislation regarding gift card fees and expiration dates. I urge you to join them and your colleagues on the House Consumer Protection Committee and vote yes on House Bill 2513. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. To the bill.
To the bill.
I think there's some really good, intentions, and I think there might be some unintended consequences that maybe haven't been considered. One is if a company never writes off a liability because somebody hasn't used their card or gift certificate, it's parked in liability, and the company will have use of those funds, and they'll never pay taxes on it because it's never converted to income. Something to consider. Thanks.
Further discussion, Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you, colleagues. I sit on the committee where we heard this bill, and in fact, I'm one of the co-sponsors. And I just wanted to tell you that after we heard the testimony in the committee hearing, I went and looked at a couple of the gift cards that I was carrying around with me, and I turned them over, and at least two of them said on the back of the gift card that after 12 months, the company was going to start deducting $2 a month off the balance of the card until the entire card was depleted. And I thought to myself, that's not fair, and in fact, it's not. So I urge you to vote aye on House Bill 2513. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Riley. Never mind. Further discussion, Representative Tomei, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
She does not. Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2513A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Berger, votes aye. Representative Butler, votes aye. All members have voted. House Bill 2513A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2665, relating to properties governed by declarations.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2665A. Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable colleagues, I bring you today an important bill, House Bill 2665, from your House Judiciary Committee with a unanimous due pass recommendation. It's important because most of you in this room are probably members of a homeowner association. One of the members just advised me he's president of a homeowners association. House Bill 2665 is a product of the Condominium Homeowners Association Working Group. Condos and planned communities have many similarities. The governing documents for both establish the rights, responsibility, and obligation of the owners and contain provisions that govern the management. House Bill 2665 includes new default provisions and provisions that apply only if the governing documents of an association are silent on the issue, as well as provisions that effectively overrule existing bylaws. It changes operational provisions of the Oregon Planned Community Act and the Oregon Condominium Act, including provisions regarding voting, electronic communications, appointment of receivers, special meetings, insurance, and reserves. This group looked the bills over, and we had good testimony in committee. I was asked to carry it because I'm a member of one of the largest homeowner associations in Oregon, Sun River, and I'm also a member of a two-unit condo association. Good bill. Please vote yes.
Further discussion? Representative Wisnett, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Minnis, how do you vote? Votes aye. All members have voted. House Bill 2665, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2666, relating properties governed by declarations.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2666A. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And honorable colleagues, I bring you today a companion bill to House Bill 2665. This is House Bill 2666. It was also passed unanimously by the House Judiciary Committee and is another product of the Condominium Homeowners Association Working Group. This bill amends the Oregon Planned Community Act and the Oregon Condominium Act and revises the definition of common property to include property designated on the plot to be transferred to the homeowners association. It will require the association to incorporate before recording the plot if it contains a conveyance to the association. This bill allows homeowner associations of planned communities to initiate litigation and seek damages for the maintenance and repair of individually owned or common property if the association is responsible for that property. We did vent this well in committee, fellow members, and I would urge another yes vote.
Further discussion? Representative Wisnett, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? She votes aye. House Bill 2666A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2676, relating to adverse possession.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2676A. Representative Kremel.
Oh, yes, here it is. Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 2676 is such a simple bill that maybe I should just sit down and let you all vote yes. Okay. No. In reality, what this bill does is that it prohibits an application of adverse possession in a case where a school district or an educational service district has real property. Situation arose in Gladstone when the school district tried to make sure that they had possession of property, and somebody else who had put a fence up and into their property, into the school district property, then tried to claim that they owned it via adverse possession. This bill will make sure that this cannot occur. And the other thing that it will do is, and it covers school districts as well as post-secondary institutions, community colleges, OHSU, and it also will cover educational service districts. So it covers the entire gamut. There are other areas in statute where adverse possession on government property is not allowed, and this would actually add to that. So I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I cannot resist a question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier, does the carrier yield?
Yes, the carrier will yield.
He does.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and good representative. I apologize for not coming to you with a...
He's using my line
a question
now.
Earlier. However, I'm looking at the staff measure summary, and being from a rural farming community, it says issues discuss definition of adverse possession, and the staff was kind enough to put the dictionary explanation as, and I always love the dictionary because that's when people say, well, if you can't spell it, go to the dictionary, okay? So it says the use or enjoyment of real property with a right of claim that when use or enjoyment is continuous, exclusive, hostile, open, or notorious. So, and I listened to your presentation. Can you give me a layman's term or definition of adverse possession, please?
I will attempt to do that, Representative, and thank you for the question. A layman's term. Well, if you have a piece of property, well, and in this case, the school district had a piece of property and there was a neighbor, when they put their fence up, whether it was inadvertent or not, they put the fence up onto the school district property, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken from the testimony, it was by about 5 feet. They, when the school district was ready to develop the property, they did a survey and found that this fence was in the wrong place. They went to the property owner and said, your fence is in the wrong place. You're going to have to move your fence. And the other property owner said, no, I have had that long enough. I now own that piece of property, and you can't take it back from me. And they were claiming that they owned that property by right of possession. And that in, now I'm not a lawyer here, but, and somebody lawyerly can correct me if I'm wrong, but that is then termed adverse possession. They are possessing the property in under adverse conditions or adverse terms. The school district did choose to litigate it. They did end up winning the case, but it was one that was very expensive for the district and is money that should never have been spent. So basically what this bill is saying is that you even if you put your fence over 5 feet on a school district property, you do not have a right to claim adverse possession to maintain ownership or to add ownership of yourself to that property. Did that answer your question, Representative?
Point of clarification, follow-up, Madam Speaker.
Clarification? Will the carrier yield? He does.
I'm sorry. I do. I do yield, yes. Yes, Representative, I yield.
So now that I understand, I believe under common law in the state of Oregon, if an individual, the example I know of from personal experience is if you had a gate across the road and the gate was there for 7 years, then the right-of-way or your neighbor's access to that would be forfeited. So there's a difference between whether it's a government entity or a private entity. And so I guess what you're saying is this will exempt the public governing bodies that are listed in here from being exempt from adverse possession, but privately owned disputes would still fall under this law. Is that correct?
If I understand your question, thank you, Madam Speaker, Representative, if I understand your question correctly, which I think I do, then private entities are not being affected by this statute, only from the standpoint that if a private entity was trying to claim adverse possession of property owned by any by the agencies listed in the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. He understood it. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Shields.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question of the carrier?
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
So this is like payback. Yes, the carrier yields.
He does.
And I'm deeply sorry, good representative from Wilsonville, that I didn't get you this question ahead of time.
That's okay. We all run on an on-time operation here.
On the staff measure summary in the background section, it says, adverse possession, according to Black's Law Dictionary, is, quote, the use or enjoyment of real property with the claim of right when that use or enjoyment is continuous, exclusive, hostile, open, and notorious. I was hoping you could tell me what is meant by hostile and notorious in those particular instances.
Hostile would be that if you are possessing a piece of property that you do not have a right to, and even if you have been told to move by the rightful owner of that property and you refuse to, that would be considered a hostile takeover. With regards to open, for example, the example of the fence that I used, I mean, it's very much open to the fact that, yes, this person is possessing this property by virtue of having put that fence up where they put it, even if it was incorrectly placed. And notorious, you know what? I haven't a clue exactly how that would be. Here we go. Gosh, I've got folks helping me out here. Thank you, Representative. You engage in acts of possession consistent with the property at issue in a manner which it was capable of being seen. That's open. This does not mean that you must have been observed in your acts of ownership, but had the actual owner or members of the public been in a position to see you, your acts must have been observable. You need not use the property in a manner that exceeds that which would be expected in the actual owner. That is, it may be possible to claim adverse possession of a vacation property on the basis of use only during the vacation season, or to claim adverse possession of a vacant parcel of land by engaging in typical acts of maintenance for the parcel. And I certainly hope that answers your question, because I'm even more confused now.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. No further questions at this time.
Further discussion, Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes, the carrier yields.
To the good representative from Wilsonville. Representative, the staff measure summary says there's no fiscal impact on this bill, but I wonder if you'd considered the implications to the law schools and to the Bar Association. Will they need to revise their real property curriculum to include this exception to adverse possession when they're teaching?
Thank you, Representative, for that question. I like curriculum questions sometimes. I don't know that they would necessarily have a fiscal impact of needing to add this to their curriculum, because I would assume that in the law school there is already within the when realty law is covered by the courses that a potential or fledgling lawyer takes. That this is adverse possession is a general concept that most likely would be taught, and that the that once it's taught and as a student is learning to go to the statutes and read the statutes, that they would be able to plainly see how this is laid out.
Thank you very much. No further questions at this time.
Further discussion, Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. A question of the carrier?
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you, sir. What's the consequences of including an estate of an educational service district in the bill? I understand an interest, but what's an estate of a service district mean? And what are the consequences of including that?
Madam Speaker, I'm not sure I understand the question, Representative.
If you'll check line...
Clarification.
Yes, clarification, please.
Yes, I will. Yes, please.
If you'll check line 12 of the bill, of page 1 of the bill, it talks about the interest or estate essentially not being diminished by adverse possession. And I was wondering what the consequences of including estate. Is that redundant, or what is the estate of a school district?
1 second, Madam Speaker and Representative. Thank you for the question, Representative. And I was just trying to confer with staff to make sure that my recollection was correct. With regards to the term estate, we didn't actually discuss that specifically in committee. But what we were trying to make sure of is that any interest in the real property that an educational institution might have would certainly be covered under this, so that there would not be the potential of somebody coming back later and stating that they were able to maintain ownership of the property via adverse possession.
May I follow up, please?
Further question.
I yield.
But the interest, as you said, is covered. And I wonder if including a state provides legal complications that might dilute the potential effect of the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker and Representative. Legal counsel, we did have legislative counsel come in and speak to us a little bit about this bill, and they did not raise any concern, but I have to also admit I don't believe anybody on the committee raised a concern about the term estate. And so I guess it could be viewed as being somewhat redundant there, but we are making sure that any interest in the real property cannot be taken over by adverse possession that a school district or educational facility has.
Thank you. An additional question, please?
Additional question. Does the carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you, sir. Does facility in line 6, as described in 346.010, does that include the facility of a charter school as well as the facility of a public school?
One second, Madam Speaker. Thank you, Representative, for the question, and Madam Speaker. I've got a copy of 346.010 in front of me, and what it says is training and educational services for children who are deaf or blind. And then it goes on to talk about the pursuant to rules. That the superintendent of public instruction shall indicate which facility shall serve as a school for the deaf and a school for the blind, may order a change in all or part of the purpose of the use of the facilities, and then describes the facilities being operated primarily for the provision of education and training services for children with sensory disabilities who cannot be efficiently served under the provisions of ORS Chapter 343. So what these are, for example, we have included here facilities like that. So, for example, the property that is owned here in Salem by the state, that is the Oregon School for the Deaf and the Oregon School for the Blind, are also covered under this bill. So none of that property can be taken by adverse possession.
Great. My thanks to the representative from Wilsonville and you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Kremel, do you wish to close?
I think there's been enough said. Just vote yes.
Thank you, Representative. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Minnis, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative McPherson, votes aye. House Bill 2676A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Chris Edwards requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended in order to return to courtesies. Is there objection? Hearing none, please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to direct your attention to the back gallery. Constituents of mine from Territorial Elementary are here visiting us today. And they are accompanied by Laura Wharton. And I welcome them all to the Capitol.
Welcome to the Capitol. Further courtesies? Seeing none? Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5042, relating to financial administration of the Secretary of State, appropriating money and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5042A. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 5042A is the budget bill for the Secretary of State. The Secretary is the auditor of public accounts, the chief elections officer, and the manager of the state's records. The agency also registers business entities and secured personal property transactions, commissions, notary publics, and publishes the Oregon Blue Book and administrative rules. The Ways and Means Committee approved a budget total of $59,469,983 and 198.5 full-time equivalent positions. The budget continues the implementation of the Help America Vote Act with the approval of $7.2 million for projects and equipment related to the federal mandate. The committee approved a total of $1.2 million general fund to support the production and distribution of the voter's pamphlet for the 2008 primary and general elections. It also approved $50,000 in general funds to provide temporary help with filing and copying in the electronics division during the statewide election. The committee approved the following technology projects: $1.2 million other funds for the Corporation Division technology projects, $1.5 million other funds for the Electronic Records Management System, $1.9 million for the federal funds for the Election Business Systems Project, and $85,000 other funds to add point-of-sale functionality to existing systems. The committee also approved $81,380 reduction in the rent at the Archives Building, continuation of seven positions for the Information System and the Help America Vote Act projects, and the reclassification of nine positions. The committee recommends the agency rework their key performance measures to make them more outcome-based and review the targets.
The agency should present their changes to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee before the 2009 legislative session. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends that House Bill 5042A be amended and reported out to pass.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Good morning, colleagues. This morning I rise in opposition to House Bill 5042. Although we have been provided the budget information we requested, and I would like to thank the co-chairs and the leadership for honoring our request, I rise to tell you I cannot support House Bill 5042 at this time. At a time when our state is experiencing a 20% increase in revenue, the co-chair's budget falls far short in several critical areas, including community colleges, higher education, public safety, and human services. Yet at this time, we're being asked to pass budget bills with, in some cases, significant general fund increases, while the majority ignores shortfalls in the critical areas that I've just mentioned. If we spend too much general fund now, I'm concerned that as we move closer to the end of session, we will be forced into one of two very unpleasant scenarios. One, we will either have to let stand the shortfalls in vital areas, like education or public safety, or two, we will be forced to raise taxes to pay for an already bloated state budget. With a 20% increase in revenue, we should not have to raise taxes on Oregon families and businesses to pay for state government. I hope you will join me in voting no on House Bill 5042 for these important reasons. Thank you, Madam.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Jensen, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Madam Speaker, but I do respectfully request a call of the House.
Representative Jensen requests a call of the House. He is joined by Representative Esquivel, Representative Dallum, Representative Clem, Representative Barker, and Representative Barnhart. The doorkeeper will bar the doors, the sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger, Fire, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Burley Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Dingfelder Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Galizio Garrard, Gilzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Krieger Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnett, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Burley, Dingfelder, Krieger, excuse, not subject to the call, Scott, Patty Smith. Excused for business of the House, not subject to the call, Krieger.
All members are present, subject to the caller present. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system.
Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Greenlich, I believe he's in the phone booth. Representative Greenlich, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Kremel, how do you vote? Votes no. House Bill 5042, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5050, relating to financial administration of the Water Resources Department, appropriating money and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5050A. Representative Girard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 5050 is the budget bill for the Water Resources Department. The department and the Water Resources Commission set water policy for the state, manage water resources, issue water rights, monitor stream flows, inspect dams, and work with other groups to address Oregon's water supply needs. The general fund supports approximately 75% of the department's budget. The remaining is primarily other funds consisting of fees and charges for services. The committee recommends a budget of $32.3 million and 147 FTE. The budget consists of $24.1 million general fund, $7 million other funds, and $1.2 million federal funds. Two positions and funds for legal costs were added for continuation of the Klamath Basin adjudication efforts. Five field services positions were added to restore capacity lost in previous biennia due to budget reductions, and positions were also added to support department water measurement reporting and budget functions. In addition, positions that process water right transfers, well locations, and stream flow data and changes to groundwater certificates were continued from the previous biennia. Funding was added for the Oregon Water Supply and Conservation Study, designed to provide information for long-term planning related present and future water supply needs. The committee added a budget note that detailed what variables the study should include. Money was also added to begin basin groundwater studies. Funding for these studies had been completely removed through a series of cuts in previous biennia. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5050 as amended.
Further discussion, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill?
To the bill.
Thank you, colleagues, for your attention to my comments on the aforementioned bill. Again, I rise in opposition to House Bill 5050. As I mentioned to you before, we are again being asked to vote for budgets with significant general fund, and in particular, this bill is in excess of $24 million. I once again rise in opposition to House Bill 5050.
Further discussion? Representative Girard, do you wish to close?
No, ma'am.
He does not. Representative Barnhart asks for a call of the House. He is joined by Representative Greenlich, Representative Esquivel, Representative Witt, Representative Reed, and Representative Buckley. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, the sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Bruin-Buckley, Burley, Burley-Butler, Cameron, Cameron Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Girard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlich, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Crummel Lim, McPherson, McPherson Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan,
Olson, Reed, Riley, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Roblin Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Bruin, Burley, Cameron, McPherson, Roblin, Mr. Speaker, excused, not subject to the call. Scott, Patty Smith, excused for business of the House, not subject to the call. Krieger.
All members are present. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Representative Holvey votes aye. Representative Barker, votes aye. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Votes no. House Bill 5050A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2240, relating to authority of State Board of Tax Practitioners and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2240A. Representative Krummel.
Good morning, colleagues. I bring you House Bill 2240A. This is the Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners. It's a fee bill. The Tax Practitioners is a consumer protection licensing board that oversees individuals and businesses who prepare personal income tax returns for others. You know, we really should have done this one on Tuesday. Anyway, the board issues two levels of individual licenses, the tax preparer and the tax consultant. Preparer level licenses are apprentice practitioners and must work under the supervision of a consultant. Tax consultants must have at least 2 years' experience, or 780 hours, in tax preparation and may work independently. Tax firms and their branch offices are also registered by the board. ORS 673.685 is a statute that governs the fees the Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners can charge their licenses. House Bill 2240A will amend the statute to remove the cap on fees. In addition, the bill will require the board to set fees through the administrative rule process, have prior approval from the Department of Administrative Services, and retroactive approval from the legislature for any fee increases. Okay, I can wait them out. Fees would be adopted administratively during the 07-09 biennium, which would require then ratification by the 2009 legislature. Though the bill does not specify the particular fee amounts, the board has provided a schedule of proposed fee increases. The board projects raising an additional $179,130 in revenue during 07-09. This bill will also increase the board's other funds limitation by $100,549. The last fee increase that the board instituted was in 2001. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 2240A. I would also point out, colleagues, that the department also has the ability, with the language in this bill, they also have the ability to reduce fees. So at some point in the future, maybe not in our lifetimes, but at some point in the future, if they were to decide that they were collecting too much money, they could reduce the fees so that their operation would only be funded to the amount that it actually costs to administer the program. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm all done.
Further discussion? Seeing no one further in the queue, Representative Krummel, do you wish to close?
Not at this time.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Tomei votes. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Representative Tomei votes aye. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Holvey votes aye. Representative Morgan votes aye. Representative Maurer votes no. Representative Riley, how do you vote? Votes no. All members have voted. House Bill 2240A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2633, related to vocational rehabilitation services.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2633A. Representative Clem. Members, this is the last bill we're going to do before we break.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm pleased to bring you House Bill 2633A, which came out of your Committee on Education, I think, unanimously. This bill basically was a companion to another bill that we'll be getting at some point related to the career schools in Oregon. And we have a system of licensing and accrediting schools in this country and in this state that has been working largely pretty well. But due to some recent abuses that happened in licenses, there were some bills brought forward with the support of the Career Schools Association to try and tighten up a little bit some of the problems that existed. The most notorious was the BCTI school that closed, and a lot of students lost a lot of money. This particular bill says that for the purposes of vocational rehabilitation training, that there are a set number of places that those funds can be used for. And we heard testimony about the different types of entities that do this type of training. We heard testimony from the Department of Human Services in the Voc Rehab office that said, we need you to amend this a little bit to allow for what we currently do. And we agreed as a committee and amended it to allow for the continuing practices of the Voc Rehab area and Department of Human Services to go forward. And largely, it is sort of anti-fraud bill where there are fly-by-night operations who don't go through any state regulation or licensing, and this would allow the state resources for this area to only be used in legitimate schools. We actually did not have anybody come forward in opposition to this, just the one amendment to clarify that the state can continue to do what they're doing now.
Representative, are you...
I'm sorry. That's all I got.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Clem, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Richardson? Votes aye. Representative Flores, how do you vote? Representative Flores? Votes aye. And Representative Beyer already voted aye. Yes. All members have voted. House Bill 2633A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Members, before I take a recess motion, are there any announcements? Representative Hunt. It looks like before you, we'll have Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Republicans, please get your lunch, and we will share leisurely together in the caucus room. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hunt?
Share leisurely together. That sounds kind of fun, but not as much fun as House Democrats are going to have. So please grab your lunch, and we will begin promptly at noon.
Representative Shields?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I wanted to call your attention to a very important forum that will be taking place tomorrow morning that you may have interest in. It's a reintegration forum on returning Oregon veterans. It'll be at Anderson Readiness Center at 3225 State Street from 9 o'clock to 12:30. If you'd like more information about this, I would encourage you to contact Director Willis at the Department of Veterans Affairs, or please feel free to contact my office. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further announcements? Representative Lim, recess until 4:30 this afternoon. Motion, please.
Madam Speaker, and recess until, did you say 4:30 in the afternoon?
Representative Lim moves that the House stand in recess until 4:30 this afternoon. Without objection, the House is in recess.